Good afternoon, radio family. My name is Arnold Jolivet II. So excited to be with you here on this week's edition of the Eagles Nest Radio. We are live on 1010 WOLB AM. That's 1010 WOLB AM. And you can also reach us live on the web at WOLBBaltimore.com. That's WOLBBaltimore.com. And you can also reach us on the WOLB app on your Android or Apple device. We have a jam-packed show for you today. I'm so excited to be here with you. We're broadcasting live from sunny Baltimore, Maryland, Radio 1 Studios. And again, as I said, we have a packed show for you today. So we're excited to have you in as a listener. Our dial-in number is 410-481-1010. That's 410-481-1010. We have a bunch of Eagles that are going to be here with us in the show. I'm excited to have live in studio Mr. Derek Smith of United Credit Educational Services. He's actually going to be sitting in, kind of guest co-hosting, so to speak, today. So welcome to the Eagles Nest, Derek. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Good. We appreciate you having you here. We actually have some guests calling in as well. I see we have one of our guests who's calling in. Before I actually bring him up and bring him on the line, I want to tell a little bit about him. A lot of times when you hear someone's sound, when you hear the type of music that they play, it's something that is distinct about them, that you know their sound, you know their style, just by listening to it. And that's really what this gentleman is all about. And that would be Marcus Johnson. Marcus, as I said before, is a distinguished musician, but he's also the owner of Flow Wine. Just to tell you a little bit about Marcus, he's an independent Billboard ranked musician and also NAACP Image Award nominated jazz keyboardist and pianist. He is the CEO and founder of Flow Brands LLC, and more recently Flow Wine LLC. So what he's been able to do is he's been able to combine his talents musically, his success in a music career, along with his love of wine, by putting the two together, and also for his love of business. So one thing that I really appreciate about Marcus is he's always striving, he's always looking to do more. He's a graduate of Howard University, so we always had to send a shout out to HU. But while after graduating from HU, he went on to actually receive not only his MBA degree, but his JD degree, his Juris Doctor degree at the same time at Georgetown University. So he has the degrees to back everything up, but he also has the common sense and the know-how to get things done. So I want to welcome Marcus onto the show. Marcus, welcome to the Eagles Nest. How are you today, brother?
Hey, man. Thank you very much for having me.
And welcome to the show. We're so excited you took some time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today. So, look, well, I just want to get right into this, Marcus. You know, I could read the bio. The bio speaks for itself. But for our listeners who may not know the whole story, who may not know everything about Marcus Johnson and how you got started, I know just from knowing you personally that you were a self-taught musician. Okay, so you pretty much taught yourself how to do what you do. What did that whole process look like, and why music? What was it about music that attracted you, or what was the draw?
To tell you the truth, I've always loved music. When I was growing up, my parents, when I went to visit my father for the weekends, I'd sit and he had one of those, you know, 911 foot record players with the, you know, the component system, the original joint, and wooden case, and I put on 33s of Stevie Wonder and Al Jarreau and Miles Davis and other folks like Earth, Wind & Fire, which really got me interested in music. Also growing up in D.C. and growing up in the go-go scene, you know, there's always, you know, back in the day we used to bring in our radios, and there was always the kind of lure of, I'm going to play for a go-go band. But I have to say that, you know, the final straw was when I love music so much. I started, you know, tinkering around with the piano in junior high school. And there was a young lady that I just wanted to write a song for. And between the last day of summer and the first day of school, I taught myself how to play, gave her a tape, and I memorized the smile that was on her face. And I was like, huh. So if I can do that, then I think I'm going to keep on doing that. And I like bringing smiles to people's faces. So there was a lot of music. It was a lot of my mom playing piano. It was a lot of introduction to music by my father. But at the end, it was a little smile on a ninth grader's face that kind of changed my life.
Wow. Now, one thing that I've noticed during your career, Marcus, is you've always pretty much stayed independent as far as being able to call your own shots and make your own moves musically and business wise. What have you found to be the cause for that success as far as the staying power? Because I'm sure when you first started in the music industry, if you look to your left and to your right, you've seen other people who aren't still around. But you've had a certain staying power and an increase in your visibility as time has gone on. How have you been able to do that?
You know, you can separate that into a bunch of different, realms. I think one is understanding the need to get a consumer base early, right? Well, let me take you back. Number one is luck and God. I mean, literally, I put together my first CD. My first summer of law school, I clerked it. MCA Universal Records in Los Angeles, you know, very high profile legal clerkship. The senior vice president of business and legal affairs there was a Georgetown grad. I picked up the phone, called 411, got the information number for Los Angeles, called it, got the information number for MCA main switchboard, and I just called in and asked to speak to a lawyer. And like, I'm a Georgetown law student and I want to work here. So I did that. The second summer, I turned down an internship at another company to go ahead and pursue my dream. And I knew that without product, there was no way to actually be, an artist. And I knew that you had all this new technology. I went and asked my sister and mother and family friends for help to get a record done, completed, and actually was able to raise about $5,000. And Lessons in Love, which is a CD that sold, you know, and is still selling upwards of 50,000, you know, units, initially back in the day, 40,000 units, was created off of, you know, a $5,000 investment. But, you know, the story goes, I had a Toyota 4Runner, and literally in between the weekends and studying study groups at the MBA program, I would hit Manhattan, I would get set up consignment deals with Borders and Towers, Tower Records. Then I would hit Philadelphia. Then I would hit Baltimore. And then I would hit D.C. Then I would hit Richmond. And basically, I had 4 days from Thursday through when I started class again Monday, where I was grinding, man. And I think, you know, the luck, i.e. God and faith, plus the works, getting out there and actually getting it done, not making excuses and pointing finger at Charlie and the man, and everybody else, asking for help, humility, you know, all these things that are in every great book and the good book and, you know, the Bible in and of itself, those kind of things help. And then taking care of the consumers, man, talking to them. You know, you and I connected on Facebook, you know, reconnected through our fraternity as well as a side conversation for this. You know, people are like, you're always online. It's my job. You know, to think that I'm supposed to sit and somebody else is supposed to just do this for me. Yeah, I have people that answer, I have people that post certain posts, but there's only one me. And there's only one person that thinks like me. You know, and there's only one person that's been given my particular talents or blessings that God has given me. Therefore, I have to go out and work all the time. And I think my work ethic with the idea of taking care of the consumers and a whole bunch of blessings, man, are the thing, you know, the main components of what has allowed me to continue my story.
Wow. Well, again, we are here live on the Eagle's Nest, WOLB 1010 AM with Marcus Johnson. Also live in the studio with me is Derek Smith. Marcus, it sounds like to me that the harder you worked and the more, as you said, you hustled and got your grind on, the luckier you got. And I really want to make that point known, because we have someone who is sitting. Now, you were in the process of getting your JD and your MBA. So we may have someone right now who is sitting in their office that's listening, or sitting in their car at lunch, and they may be at that job that they're not happy with, or they may be in a direction that may not be their passion. But how were you able to juggle what you were going after academically, but still not let that dream die of being a musician and fulfilling your dream?
Well, you know, I mean, if we want to take it one step further, Arnold, I mean, I was actually a law fellow at the same time. So I had 20 students that I was teaching over at the law school while I was working on my first year MBA. And again, I'm not special. I'm not saying this to say, like, oh, I'm Big Bad Marcus. I'm saying this to say, man, I'm just like anybody else. It's just a lot of work. One of my friends yesterday, she was like, or this morning, she's like, you don't sleep. I mean, I do, but, you know, I don't BS. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a matter of when you decide to take time out and dream, you know, and then you take time out to plan it. Then you take time out to actually execute it, to do it. And then you sit back and learn humbly from your mistakes and learn, you know, in a thankful way for your blessings. When you listen and learn, that's what it is. So the acronym is DPELL, DEPEL. Dream, plan, execute, listen, and learn. Man, if you just follow those five steps, it's real, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It gives you the guidelines and the outlines of the things that you need to do in order to make it work. And that's in relationships, that's in personal relationships, that's in the relationship you have with yourself, that's in the dreams and goals you have with your companies and your aspirations, and, you know, I just think it takes hard work. I think when we were growing up, you know, we heard about stories like Cinderella. We heard about stories like Snow White, things like that. And I think that we were actually domesticated, you know, kind of like a dog, you know, Pavlovian kind of conditioning into thinking, you know, that there's a happily ever after. Like there's a point in time where, hey, I don't have to do anything. That's the biggest lie that they could ever tell. And if you look at AARP and what they're doing now with Life Reimagined and the whole idea that what's retirement now? You know, what's a pension? They're drying up all over the place. You know, and the fact that you can still live a great life if you have your own dream for yourself and your dream, not daddy's dream, mama's dream, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, child, your dream. If you can do that, you can live a fruitful life until the day you pass to the other side.
Wow, man, you got me fired up over here. So if we go back, if we have, say someone is listening right now who is an aspiring artist, they could be, you know, an aspiring baker. It really doesn't matter what it is, but there's so many people who are on the fence right now that just, you know, need to go ahead and take that leap of faith to make it happen. Did you ever have any time when you were juggling the law fellow, you were juggling, you know, the MBA program, you were juggling, you know, being a good friend and you know, having your own personal relationships of folks who counted on you, who needed you, that you were accountable to? Did you ever have a time you said, man, this is, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to go back, pursue my law degree and practice law. I just can't do this. Did you ever have a time, Marcus, where you just wanted to give up?
Okay. So the politically correct answer would be to say, of course I did. But honestly, for me, it's like this. My faith, and if you want, go to my Facebook page and find my sister, Kelly Johnson. She's a young dean, also Georgetown Law grad at NYU. And ask her who has the most faith in the world. And she'll tell you, she's like, my brother. I just, you know, you have challenges, man. And there are days where you're just like, you know, this is hard. But my parents always told me that it was hard. They didn't ever say, like, you know, this is going to be a cakewalk. They told me, you know, you're going to go out here and you're going to do it. Now, when I handed them a law degree and was like, I'm going to, you know, work in your basement to put out my CDs, you know, with the JD and an MBA from Georgetown, they looked at me a little crazy. Again, when people, you know, when I told people, yeah, I'm going to start a wine brand, everybody looked at me a little bit more crazy. But, you know, if you ask me, man, God is in the craziness. You know, I mean, why would, if we're modeled after God, right, then why would we want to be ordinary and just be like, okay, you know, I'm just going to go back to school and do the easy way? I don't find God in that. I find God in saying, okay, look, I know I don't have wings, but y'all are about to watch me fly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that type of faith, and it's not easy to have, if you don't, take it one step at a time. Try it. Go out and volunteer in the music world. Go out. I'm not telling you, you know, to go all the way in. Hey, I'm quitting my job tomorrow. I believe in A plans and B plans work if that's in your overall plan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this until this. It's step by step. But what I find is, you know, now that I have a two-year-old, is the first day she took one step, then she came back the next day and she took two. And the next day, she took four, and the next day, she's coming to me, falling into my arms, in the next few weeks, you know, she's up and she's walking.
Right.
And this, and talk about challenges. This is a young girl that you know has toward the college that we work through. We do physical therapy with her. She had physical therapy this morning, and you know what? She worked her way around and did her own thing. To me, that's extraordinary, man. And you know, when you know, a friend just bought me the book Extraordinary. Get it? You know, I look at I think it's Linda Rottenberg's book. You know, crazy is a compliment. And if they're not laughing at you, and this is the same thing that they have in the book, Good to Great. You know, if they're not laughing at your idea, then it's not big enough, man. Mm-hmm. And think about the things that you've done. Go, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to do a radio show. Oh, yeah, really? Well, what do you know about radio? Nothing, but I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. God gave me a brain. I know I'm not cognitively challenged. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So as long as your brain's working, man, and if your heart is working, everything's possible.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, one thing we always say, Marcus, and it's ringing true with when I hear you talk, is we always say that you will find favor in your area of assignment. And that's what has happened with you and all the success that you have and have continued to have. But tell our listeners, you have so many fans in this area. We know that you're going to be in this area performing as well. But what is next? What's the next step for Marcus Johnson in for you musically, but also for the Flow brand? And then let us know, I know you're going to be performing locally as well, but just tell us, what's the next step?
I mean, next step, I'm working on my new album. I just put out my DVD. You can find them both online. If you just Google Marcus Johnson, I'm the first one that comes up. It'll take you to our website, and we have information about the wine there as well as music. We have Blues Alley coming up downtown in D.C. four nights and getting into our Christmas stuff, getting a lot of bookings for holiday parties, but I'm also getting a lot of bookings. I'm doing a lot of speaking because, I guess, as you can imagine, like, I'm happy about what I do. And honestly, Arnold, you know, there are days where I might have this amount of money in the account, and then the next day I might have negative the same amount of money in the account. I by no means am immune to, you know, bill collectors giving me a call, Verizon, I got you, just wait, I got you tomorrow. And, you know, it's things like that. So it's like I talk, it's just real stuff, man. It's letting people know that you can have a law degree and MBA. Your wine can be listed as a top 10 celebrity wine brand. You know, you could be in negotiations to talk to figure out how to expand that company. You can play around the world. And at the same time, you can still deal with the issues of a child who's in physical therapy, you know, a challenging personal relationship, parents who are aging, you know, lack of access to capital, bills that have to get paid, law school loans that still need to get paid, yet knowing that you can still get up in the morning and fight to make it right and tell the story of, hey, I'm just an airplane pilot and my life is an airplane. Sometimes I go through a cloud and it gets real bumpy, but I know how to fly this thing. And I know that because there's somebody flying me that woke me up, you know what I'm saying,
right,
then I get it done.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm doing a lot more speaking, and then I'm playing tonight, actually, in Baltimore at Phase 10.
Well, we have that right there. Phase 10 is tonight from 8 to 10. You can catch Marcus at 885 North Howard Street. That's 885 North Howard Street in Baltimore, 21201. The phone number there is 410-462-2012. That's 410-462-2012. We want to make sure that we all come out to support you. Man, I just want to, again, congratulate you on everything that you've done, all the hard work, all the effort. It's definitely paying off. And again, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the show today, because you are an eagle. And as we state all the time, eagles only fly with eagles, brother. So you keep flying, man, and I will do everything in my power to support you, to continue to raise the flag and make sure that folks get out to not only support your music, but support what you do in business as well. So feel free. You have an open invitation to come onto the Eagle's Nest at any time. But before I let you go, I just want you to say one thing to your fans and to our listeners as far as, you know, that person that this you know, hitting their head up against the wall, trying to get their music out there, trying to get their brand out there. You know, what can you tell them to just say, hey, you know, you can do it?
Well, number one, I would tell you to stop hitting your head up against the wall. It's not doing any good. Number two, forgive yourself for whatever you're waking up in the morning and saying that you didn't do and that you haven't done. The most important thing that you can do for yourself is say, self, look, we're exactly where we're supposed to be. We're exactly where God wants us to be. Now that I have this, now that I have the real miracle of the morning, which was, oops, you woke up this morning. Now, today is the first day in the rest of my life. Then you go to places like Reverb Nation if you're in music. You go to places like TuneCore if you're in music. You go to The Source, which is part of this national warehouse distributing duplicators thing, The Source, and start reading. You must be a student of your industry. You need to understand the new music industry, how you can get out there, how you can use resources like Reverb Nation to get your own music app set up, how you can use sites like Wix.com to get, you know, a website up with no problem because everything is plug and play. Then you start putting that together. Get in the studio. Write your music. If you're not writing, find somebody that produces and that you can get with to get your music together. If you're an entrepreneur and you have that idea, number one, make sure you go to like a volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. If you're in Baltimore, go to the University of Baltimore. See if they have a clinic, a small business clinic. Get your idea trademarked, patented, or copyrighted, right? So that you can protect your rights. And then they can help you exploit them. So put all that stuff together. That is part of the plan. And then you go out there and do it. And I promise you that if you wake up in the morning, it is all possible. And not only is it all possible, you have already done the extraordinary. You have beaten that thing that's in your head. You don't have to turn it, you don't have to try and erase it. That voice will always be there. That little you on the right side of your head or the left side of your head. All you got to do is say, player, look, I got to turn you down to zero right now. Because I got some things that I got to do because I'm going to live an extraordinarily God-driven life.
Wow. Well, again, brother, we appreciate you. You know, you're representing quite well. Proud to call you my friend. Proud to call you my brother. You know, we also represent Beta Chapter Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated as well. So I'm thankful, man, of the association and all the growth that I've seen just over the past 20 so years, man. You really are inspiration, not only to me, but other people who are out there doing it. So, again, come on the show at any time, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, bro, I appreciate you, too. One thing we didn't say, and I hope I can say this, is that you can go to Total Wine & More, which is Beltway, Liquor, Fine Wine & Spirits, and check out the wine. And it is, we're top center USA Today brand, so please support us there. We need that as well. And, bro, look, thank you for what you're doing and getting the word out there. I appreciate you, and everything that you said to me is mutual.
All right, have an awesome day.
Awesome, brother. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that was Marcus Johnson, jazz artist and entrepreneur. We hear about some of the things he's doing. And listen, Derek, when you hear across the board, man, just like yourself, you know, being an eagle in your industry, it doesn't change. Hard work, getting your hustle on, getting your grind on. I mean, it's all the same, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sitting here listening to the story of Marcus, you know, I shared a like. You know, I grew up in a single parent household. Mom had me at a teenager. Didn't have a male father figure in my life, and I got my first job at 14 years old. I was a shampoo boy.
Mm-hmm.
At that young age, you know, I just wanted to be able to put a couple bucks in my pocket so I can help moms out.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy taught me how to shampoo women's hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at a young age, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was a great opportunity to meet a lot of females, get some great tips, et cetera. But what it actually showed me was the importance of hard work and commitment.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's really all about. That
that's
most people lack perseverance,
mm-hmm.
commitment, determination, mm-hmm. dedication, mm-hmm. All those things that are qualities of a successful person, of a successful life, of a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know you hear another brother share the same heartbeat as yours, you know, I'm a listener here sitting in the studio with you, but I was greatly encouraged myself.
Absolutely. Well, that gives us a good transition, Derek, to our next caller. Actually, when you talk about someone who's multitasking, someone that wears multiple hats, that's this gentleman who's on the line, who's holding right now. Dr. Calvin Wiley, not only is he a medical doctor, but he's also a pastor as well. He's also a business person, a husband, a father, a son. So I wanted to bring you into the conversation. Welcome to the Eagle's Nest, Dr. Wiley. How are you today?
I'm absolutely fantastic. How are you, Mr. Jarrett?
I'm doing great. Listen, I just wanted to welcome you into the show. You know, again, I can sit here and tell the bio, I can tell the statistics, but just from knowing you, Dr. Wiley, knowing the type of man that you are, the man of faith, the man of integrity that you are, I know you had a chance to listen a little bit to our previous guest, Marcus Johnson, where he talked about hard work, he talked about the God aspect and you know, fusing in God with the hard work and dedication, but more importantly, the faith. You know, I'm so glad to have you on the line now, because when I look at you, when I look at your life, and I've had a chance to watch you being your business partner, you know, watch you being the type of person that does what you say you're going to do, and how you actually get in the trenches and aren't afraid to roll up your sleeves and go to work, not only in business, but also with your ministry. You know, how does that all at work? You know, we have so many people, again, as I mentioned before, that have the book, they have the idea, they have the ministry in their mind, in their heart. But what was it? What was it that you saw that made you to want to step out, to go ahead and move forward with the medical degree? The dropout rate is so high in medical school. The dropout and the rate for churches. Most churches don't make it past their first year, Dr. Wiley. So how have you been able to combine all those things with the perseverance to make things happen for yourself?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Mr. Jolivet, for all the work and your host there, your co-host there, who absolutely was putting information out there, allowing people to hear. So faith comes by hearing, and you're doing a stellar job with making sure the inspiration is out there. I can tell you from a personal experience, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, Dr. Wiley, you know, I was born. A lot of people don't know this. I was born at the beginning of my life. So I was born at the beginning of my life. That's kind of joking. But the thing is, God created us for a purpose. He created us for a reason. I believe he created me for a reason. And most people would say, you know, it's incredible that an African-American young man would be born and raised in New York City, Staten Island, New York, and then come from that environment and then become successful, become a physician. But not only that, then also, as you mentioned earlier, to go on and understand his life purpose in terms of ministry, in terms of pouring into the lives of other people. Many people say that's a great accomplishment. But as you know, there's not just one African-American man that came from one household, one family, come from New York. There's two. You know, I am an identical twin brother. And both of us, but this is a story. My story is absolutely amazing. Because the story says that, you know, my mother, when she was pregnant with us, right at the time of delivery, this is a funny story. Most people don't know this. The time of the delivery, my mother was going through labor for several hours, and they were wondering why they knew they were twins. Why aren't they coming out? What's going on? And see, my brother and I were in the uterus, and we knew they could have asked me. I could have told them why it was taking so long. We knew it was time to come out. I was ready to come out. I was getting ready to come out, and he pushed me. And don't know this. He pushed me, and he went out first. And then 5 minutes later, after I got my thoughts together, that's when I came out.
Wow.
That's when I came out. So two of us, literally, we knew what we were here for. We worked on live on purpose. I would tell anybody out there, live on purpose. And once we live on purpose, we're able to leave New York, go out to Ohio, to medical school, and we went through the trenches. We went through the understanding what life was all about, learning medicine, and then go out and be successful. And not only that, we kept our priorities straight in the right place, and also, you know, put God first and became ministers and now, you know, pastoring. It's absolutely amazing. It's been incredible.
Wow. Well, Dr. Waller, we know that you are the pastor of Living Water Apostolic Church and that you all are celebrating your 5th year anniversary. So tell us a little bit about the festivities and things that are going to be taking place so our listeners can come and celebrate with you, because 5 years in ministry is really something to be celebrated.
Absolutely. Ministry goes hand in hand with my professional career. I really pride myself on ministering to the total person, a holistic point of view when it comes to my profession. And so ministry really was cohesive in my training, my professional training. And so, you know, being called into the pastoral ministry, it's been absolutely incredible. This has been the greatest time in my life. I thought medicine was great. You know, being married, of course, that's the top of my life. But of course, pastoring and being able to minister to the hearts and minds of people has been absolutely stellar. And this weekend, we're absolutely bringing in some of the most phenomenal voices and speakers when it comes to the Pentecostal Apostolic Persuasion. This is our weekend of Come Celebrating Change. This is the weekend of change. And our theme is Come Celebrating Change. You will have an opportunity to hear some of the most phenomenal voices when it comes to preaching, when it comes to singing. And this weekend of change, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning, you'll actually be able to hear Sunday morning from my identical twin brother, the guy who pushed me to the side and came out first. You'll be able to hear from him Sunday morning. But again, Friday night, 7 p.m., will be Bishop William Fields from D.C., from Washington, D.C. Absolutely incredible. He's on the circuit, really preaching all over the country. And then Saturday, we'll have Apostle James May. He's one of the key leaders. He's our vice presider of this international organization. Over 550 churches throughout over 13 countries of the world. Absolutely incredible man with a word for this generation. That'll be Saturday at 3 p.m. It's absolutely going to be an incredible celebration. I want everyone who can, when you have an opportunity to give this type of information to change your life, I admonish you, you got to be there to absolutely celebrate with us and then change your life forever.
Wow. Well, Dr. I want to make sure that I have the address correctly. That's 4100 Webster Road in Harvard Grace, Maryland. Is that correct?
Absolutely. 4100 Webster Road. That's Harvard Grace, Maryland, 21078.
Okay, and the website is livingwaterapostolicchurch.com. That's livingwaterapostolicchurch.com. So, Dr. Wiley, definitely want to get out there to fellowship with you all this weekend. I encourage all of our listeners to get out and participate with Living Waters this weekend. It's going to be a tremendous event. And, Doc, hey, listen, I look forward to the next 5 years, and I will definitely be out there real soon to fellowship and praise and worship with you and your community.
Absolutely. I want to leave this with your listeners. Absolutely advance beyond adversity. This is what we've been able to do. And I understand this. If one person is able to do it, you can do it. We put God first in everything that we do. Christ comes first. I call it faith, finance, family, and then finances. Your faith in Jesus Christ will take you all the way. Your family will support you through it. And then, of course, your finances will take you to the top when you put God at the top. I thank you for all the things you do in serving this great community.
Wow, thank you, Dr. Wiley, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.
All right, you too.
All right. That was Dr. Calvin Wiley, pastor of Living Water Apostolic Church. Hey, Derek, listen, again, another Eagle, man, just telling us a little bit about what they're doing. They're making it happen in different areas and different walks. You know, again, educating our listeners about, you know, what's going on and what's out there and what the possibilities are. So, you know, it's really not an easy way to transition to it. But I want you to share. I want you to talk a little bit about to our listeners about what you do as far as educating them from a financial aspect, from a credit aspect, to making sure that they put themselves in a position to win. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he said something key in closing, and he made the comment of advancing beyond adversity. Life is full of adversity, and many people, unfortunately, have been challenged by way of either a loss of job, loss of a spouse, loss of a loved one, or whatever the case may be. Life happens, and none of us are exempt from adversity. But in light of that, there is hope, and everybody at some point has to take personal responsibility for their lives, for their own financial portfolios, et cetera. And the work that we do at United Credit Education Services, we are a 10-year-old credit restoration company. And then we help those individuals where life has happened. And so much so where it has caused them to get to a place where they do have challenged credit. You know, life is all about having options. And unfortunately, if folks have less than perfect credit or have, you know, a 600 credit score below, 620, 660 or below credit score, unfortunately, you just don't have the same options or afforded the same opportunities that those that actually have a great credit do. And that's what we do. We hold the credit bureaus accountable on the consumer's behalf. The law says if the credit bureaus can't verify derogatory information on someone's credit report in 30 days, they have to delete it. And that's what we do. So our ultimate goal is to help consumers be restored to their full purchase potential and that ability to buy houses, buy cars, travel, start a family, et cetera. So just imagine, think about it. If we walked around with our credit score over top of our heads with halos, people would make a lot of different decisions for the most part.
Some people wouldn't be going out. They'd be staying home.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I want to get more information about that and how our listeners can actually get in contact with you. Sure. And really, it's somewhat of a partnership as far as what you do, working with them hand in hand in servicing your clients and helping them to improve their credit, because the world we live in today, credit is everything.
Yeah.
You know, credit is everything. And, you know, just by one click.
Yeah.
One click, you know, someone has access to your credit files, and it can either make you or break you as far as what you want to do.
Absolutely.
So you talk a little bit about restoration, and again, that transitions me to our next caller, a gentleman who I want to bring in on the line. And the reason I say restoration, because he's in a position right now where he's looking to restore some things. He's looked out upon his vision of the city and what's going on and what's taking place, of being an attorney, of being someone who's worked in the trenches for people in this area for a majority, a good part of his life. And that's Mr. Russell Neverdon, Attorney Russell Neverdon. Attorney Neverdon, welcome to the Eagle's Nest. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, fantastic. Want to welcome you into the show. Again, most of our listeners who are in this area, they've heard the name. They're familiar. When I was checking in here at the station today, I said, well, one of our guests is Russell Neverdon. They said, oh, I know Mr. Neverdon. He represented me with this, represented me with that. So the name is well known. But the reason, again, I wanted to have you on partly is to share a little bit about your story, share a little bit about growing up in Baltimore and some of the things that you went through in your progress and your transition to becoming an adult, and what you actually see as far as the for the future for the city of Baltimore with what it is that you're taking under, what it is you're trying to do as far as being a writing candidate for the state's attorney office. But more than that, like I talked to you about, really want to find out more about the man and what is it that allowed you, when so many of the people who you grew up with during that time may have gone a different direction, what was it in you that made you want to strive and move forward to become an attorney and to reach some of the highest levels in your profession?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And I'm glad that you pointed that out. I mean, as much as it's my candidacy, but my candidacy is my story. It's about the man that I've become. And it's not by any of my own laurels or my own accolades, but it has truly been because of the efforts and prayers of grandparents, aunts and uncles, neighbors. You know, I grew up in a time where the neighborhood took care of each other. You know, we looked out for our children. One neighbor could discipline another child, and we grew up together because we all wanted the very best. And so my own personal story, you know, and I'm very transparent about that, my parents struggled with drug addiction, and they didn't make the best of decisions, but I had grandparents that stepped in and filled that role. And although I might have that missing piece of, you know, the mother, father, the traditional nuclear family, I had multiple aunts and multiple uncles who replaced them. And so I understand what it is when a family or when a village comes together and what their end product is. And that's me. I am that end product. And we've got a lot of young men and women who've been in those same or similar circumstances that we are losing at an alarming rate. And so that leads in, or that's the segue into why I'm running for state's attorney for Baltimore City. We've got to do more than just the prosecution model. We have got to get into the preventative mindset and start going back to those old school values and not try to reinvent the wheel, but remind people of how the wheel used to roll, because that's what it's going to take. And so this writing candidacy, it's been a hard road. It's been a difficult road. But the one thing is I've got a momentum and a movement of young people who are getting behind me, who can identify with my story. And I'm letting them know, because of adversity, because of the difficulties we went through, as far as the signature campaign, that not working out, but having to do a write-in, that's about the fortitude. You keep pressing no matter what the circumstances are. And I want to treat these kids and these young men and women like a sponge. I'm going to squeeze the very best out of you, and it's going to be tough. You know, you may not like some of my decisions if I'm successful, and I'm going to claim that, but I'm going to demand the very best from you. And if you have to be incarcerated, and if I have to sit you down and I have to do things that says I have to hold you accountable, I don't want that to be the end of your life, because that's the biggest issue that we have is recidivism. People are going in and coming out, and their lives aren't being changed. We want to begin to have a model where we're setting people up for success and not doing the same thing. So the signature campaign is not difficult. It's just different. Three easy steps. You know about me. You want me in that role, that leadership role, being your own Baltimore bred. Then you just have to click on write in when you get to the Office of State's Attorney. Type in Neverdon, N-E-V-E-R-D-O-N, and press record. Three simple steps, and those steps will help lead you and push Baltimore in one more step closer to going in the right direction. And that's pretty much it. But as far as me and my circumstances, you know, when I think about my days in high school and I think about the friendships and the bonds, you know, we as kids, we looked out for one another. And despite whatever my circumstances were, we wrapped our arms around each other. We supported one another. And as you well know, we've lost a lot of our colleagues, you know, either to drug addiction or who have lost their lives early on. Because, you know, these are kids who came from affluent families, mother and father, but still, with all that was there, there's still some missing pieces. And so we know what that's about. But at the same time, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. I haven't forgotten that. I'll never forget that. And I feel that it's not something that I just necessarily want to do, but I'm obligated to give back to my community. The same community that took care of me, the same city that took care of me, I'm obligated to give back to it.
Wow. Again, we're here with Attorney Russell Neverdon, writing candidate for the state's attorney's office for the city of Baltimore. Do you think we could ever get back to that time where you talked about when we grew up, where the neighborhood wrapped their arms around each other and it was a different era? Do you think that it will ever get back to that point? I know it's not going to always be exactly the same, but what can we do, or is there anything that we can do to get back to that point?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is we've got to stop this divisiveness in our community. That's the first thing. We've got the gender thing of males versus females. We've got the racial thing of one race versus another. We've got the old versus the young. We have got to get back to civility and to the humanistic side of us. We have to respect that every life has value. And then at that point, we begin to turn and change the pendulum, so to speak, get it to swing in the right direction. You know, the difference is that we respected our elders. You would not be seen or caught dead cursing walking down the street in front of the elders. You didn't talk back. It was yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It was opening doors, holding doors. It was having chores and not thinking second or third times about it. You got it done. It was our kids. We didn't sit in front of video games all the time. You know, we went outside and we exercised, and our minds were exercised, and we engaged in different things, and we learned about civics. I mean, a lot of those things just aren't in place. And so the reality is we got to look at, we don't have that extended family as we used to. And when you think about the state of our country, and particularly Baltimore City, I mean, right now we're in a crisis situation. The United States incarcerates 25% of the prison population. And of that 25%, 44% represent African-American males. And now right here in Baltimore, we're having a disproportionate number of African-American females. So that means that these young men and women are getting locked up, and a lot of them have children. What's happening to the kids? And that's what we got to start focusing on. We got to start reaching back and dealing with our children and to try and save their lives and redirect and push them in a different direction. Because if we don't, that is nothing more than the resource, if you will, or the pool to feed to the prison system if we don't get them and start intervening. And so I don't think we'll ever get back to it again. It'll take time before we can get to that. But I think what we can do is that we can begin to start dealing with accountability ourselves, but we do need help. We need to take advantage of resources. A lack of resources, unfortunately, and Dr. Wiley, and I'm glad that you had him on, he actually was my former primary care physician, outstanding spiritual man, but he hit the nail on the head. You know, resources gives us choices, and people make positive choices, or rather positive decisions, when they have positive choices. We're not just fighting crime anymore. We're fighting hopelessness, and that's what's going on in Baltimore City, hopelessness. And very quickly, I'll give you a prime example. I spoke to a young man the other day, and I was talking about whether he was registered to vote while I was working the polls, and I'm meeting people, and he walked by. He said, "Nah, man, I'm not voting." I was like, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, you know, I mean, what difference does it make? It's not going to make a choice. You know, it's not going to make a difference." And I said, "Well, it is going to make a difference if you voice your opinion. Your voice has a value, so does your vote. You should make that count and make that heard." And he's like, "Man, look, man, nothing's going to happen. And more likely than not, I probably want to see 25, man. I'll probably be going out. You know, my boy's going to." So he was already funeralizing himself. That's scary. That is so scary. And I'm like, wow. I mean, you really see that in yourself? So we talked a little bit, and I shared about my past and my background. And I said, and he was like, "Really? So, well, how long did it take you to get to law school?" And I told him, "Look, I'm not perfect. I made my mistakes along the way." I said, "But I knew that there was a certain point, a line I would not cross." I said, "So you got to get to that point and start setting standards. And you know, he shared some similar circumstances, but I said, but you can't label yourself as a victim of circumstances. You got to start declaring victory over them circumstances and say to yourself, I want more. I want more than what this life or these circumstances are offering to me. And it's there for you. You just got to want it.
Wow. Now, in looking at your 5-point strategy, one important thing that jumped out at me, and especially in listening and hearing you talk, is the restoration piece. You know, and under trace, you have transparency, restoration, accountability, community, and equitable. Now, in that restoration piece, what is the first step in bridging that gap between the community and the trust? We know that everything rises and falls with leadership. So if there's a, if there's a disconnect with the trust of the people, with the leadership, is there a gap there? And if so, how do we bridge that?
Well, there truly is. And so when we say, in my 5-point platform of trace, and as you said, the restoration of public trust has to go with, one, having a approachable and having an effective and an open and transparent leader. You've got to have somebody that the people believe, one, I can get to, and two, I can hold accountable, and three, that's not going to, for lack of a better phrase, blow smoke up my butt. People want the truth. Even when it hurts, people want the truth. And so that has to be the first thing that you model to the community. But also a part of that restoration of public trust is the disconnect between the community and law enforcement and the state's attorney's office. We have to recognize that the police cannot police themselves. And so you need somebody who's going to be firm and say, and look, I'm proud of law enforcement as a military police officer, and I'm the first to say, I know what the job calls for and I know what the responsibilities are. We need our police, but we need the very best from them. And so I will, as aggressively as I will go after violent offenders, and I'm not just talking to repeat all violent offense, I will go after them, domestic violence, violence committed upon our seniors, the breaking in homes, because I believe that that's the gateway to violent crime. Because think about it. If somebody breaks in your house, it means that they're prepared to deal with whatever comes there, even if that means you. So I have some things in place with that. But more importantly, we've got to look at holding the police equally accountable. When you are breaking the law, when you are brutalizing our citizens, I'm going to sit you down like I would anybody else. It sends a strong message that, yes, I can be impartial and I can do what's necessary with this office. The office is an independent agency of everything that surrounds it. And so you have to make sure that you are focused on, I serve the interests of the people, not the elected officials. I serve the interests of every citizen of Baltimore City. And so I think it's just apropos that I end up being, because I did a selfless thing and pulled out of the Democratic primary so that we didn't have a three-way race where people are getting caught up on the issues of race and getting caught up on the issues of gender, but can focus on purely the issues of qualifications, vision, and know-how to lead the city in a new direction. And so I bring that to the table with 15 years of experience of actual felony trial litigation experience consistently without interruption at the state and federal level. I've been a prior administrator at the Woodburn Center, where I've hired, trained, fired, wrote policy and all those things at the Woodburn Center as a facility supervisor. The same thing with the Revisions Mental Health Facility, where I was a program coordinator. So I have the administrative experience. I've got the litigation experience. I taught at Coppin State College, world history for 2 years. And I've also been a leader as a military police officer in the United States Army. So I have, I think, all the tools necessary. I have a well-rounded experience, including my experience as a law clerk at the state's attorney's office, that I understand all sides of what goes into it, but I also understand the people and the problems, and that's the key. That's the key right there, being able to, being born and raised in this city, I understand the culture and the dynamics and the nuances that come into play. So I can be, being tough on crime, that's the easy part. Can you divert people away from coming in the system? Can you continually and consistently partner with the community and build that trust again, where we can focus on truly investigating issues that come before or the crimes that are brought and charged, and getting the people to the mindset of beginning to believe and trust in it once again? That's the hard part. That's where the real work is. And so, you know, when people ask me, well, Russell, you know, this writing candidacy, man, that's got to be difficult. I said, look, no, the difficult part is getting in that office and making a difference. That's the hard part. Mm-hmm. This part right here, this is easy. Making a true difference in this community and believing in it, that's the hard part. And so, you know, And if you know it, it requires sacrifice. I've done that. When I got out of that primary, I did that. I knew I had a hard road ahead of me, a more difficult one, but Baltimore is worth fighting for. And giving it a chance and listening to what the people said they wanted, which was a choice, I made sure that they could do it without outstanding or unrelated issues to come into play. Let the people have their voice, have their say, and decide what they believe is in their best interest. And I believe that I'm the most qualified person to make that happen.
Well, Russell, let our listeners know how they can get mobilized, what your website, that they can get in contact with you for mobilization. Please get that out there.
Yeah, well, you can call me direct. And as I said, my office, my administration, I don't plan on being behind four walls and a desk. I'm going to be in the community day in and day out doing what I need to do. I'm going to be in that courtroom so I can train and support my people. And I'm going to be dealing with the organizations, building positive relationships to help make a difference in our community. But for right now, to get on board, if you believe in what I'm saying and you want to move Baltimore in the right direction, you can go to our website at www.neverdawnforbaltimore.com. And notice, it's not friends of me or people for me. It is me for Baltimore. neverdawnforbaltimore.com. And you can reach us at 410-491-0068. That's a direct cell phone number. Or my personal cell phone number, which is 443-324-4749. All the volunteers, the more the merrier. You can reach out. You can always still donate. And then you can go online and do that through our website. But reach out. Let us know if you want to get in. Today's the last day of early voting. If you know somebody who hasn't voted but wants to take advantage of it, do so by 8 o'clock today at one of the six locations. And Tuesday is D-Day. That's the actual day on November the 4th. Make sure you get out and vote. Even if you don't want to vote for me, just vote. Exercise your right to vote. It is so important. Too many of our predecessors have died, lost lives, limbs, health, all for the sake of making sure that we are able to be able to do this. So please, everybody listening, get out there and vote, vote, vote.
All right. Well, listen, Russell, I appreciate you taking time. I know your schedule is jam-packed right now, but I appreciate you taking the time to come onto the line to share with us about what's going on, about your initiatives and your plan for the city of Baltimore. So, again, man, thank you for coming on the line, and I look forward to talking to you real soon. And I know that you have folks that are mobilizing and putting things together to make this happen.
Hey, and again, I just want to remind the people, if you want to vote for me again, three simple steps. It's not difficult. It's just different. Click on write in when you get to the Office of State's Attorney. Type in my last name. Try and spell it. And even if you can't spell it, an attempt to do it, I'm the only never done running, will count. And press record. You've just recorded my vote and moved us in one step closer to moving Baltimore in the right direction. I thank you for having me on, brother. Keep getting out the good message. I listen to your show, and I appreciate what you're doing.
All right. Have an awesome day, man.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Well, wow. Again, another Eagle, Derek, in all different walks. We've had music. We've had ministry. We've had the law field. And we have you live here in studio in the financial field. And one thing, as I mentioned before, is he talked about restoration. So, you know, for that person that's listening right now that made some mistakes, they went out and they bought the big car and didn't have the income. They may have lost their job, couldn't continue to pay for it. And their credit might have a few dings on it. And they think there's no hope of ever buying that house or getting that car. They're stuck in an apartment or stuck driving something they don't want to drive or in a financial situation. Is there hope? You know, the key word that we've heard all day today is hope. Is there hope for someone who have made those mistakes and made those errors and have had those financial speed bumps in their road?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the brother said something really key when he said resources give us choices. And unfortunately, a lot of people make unwise choices because they just don't have access to the resources to get them on the track of reconciliation or restoration. You know, everybody deserves a second chance. We all made mistakes, mismanaged money, et cetera. Things happen. Life happens, as I may have mentioned previously. But the reality of it is no one should be content with having less than perfect credit, especially when there's a solution out there. You know, most people believe the only way they can have great credit if they do have bad credit is to simply pay off their bills. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, in 1971, Congress enacted something called the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and it gives you the right and the ability to dispute any derogatory negative item information on your credit report. It doesn't matter what it is, judgments, liens, collections, bankruptcies, foreclosures, medical collections, et cetera. So if you're out there and you have those situations on your credit report, It's just a matter of now exercising your opportunity to go out and get those resources. And that's what we do. We've been in business for 10 years. I have a branch office in Bowie, Maryland. And formerly, you know, I was president of one of the real estate associations in Prince George's County. So I've been an advocate of financial literacy and education. And being on the other side, formerly being a REMAX broker, I saw what it meant to have great credit. A lot of people were afforded the opportunities to become homeowners. But unfortunately, on the flip side, we turned away a lot more people than we couldn't help, than we actually facilitate a home ownership for. So it's really just all about taking responsibility, personal responsibility, because having bad credit is very, very expensive. You're paying more money for everything, interest rates on your credit cards, interest rates on your mortgages. Most people don't even realize your automobile insurance premium, depending on where you live, is predicated upon your credit score, not simply based upon your driver's record or your zip code or whatever the case may be. So, you know, in light of that, you know, for a nominal fee, a nominal time commitment, you can get on the other side of that transaction line. And so we got to collectively as a group pull together those resources. And I appreciate you having us here on the show, because this was just a glimpse, imagery of a brother making a commitment to provide people, our listeners, with resources to really help them get on the other side for the most part. So I'm excited about the work that we're doing. We got a lot of upcoming events moving forward. We have a upcoming event coming up November the 22nd here in Baltimore. I'm moderating a credit education home ownership event here and partnering with Exit Spivey Realty. Actually, the broker of Exit Spivey Realty is Donnell Spivey. He's the president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. They're a minority trade real estate association. That workshop will be November the 22nd from 10 to 12 noon at the Holiday Inn Express and Suites in Catonsville at 5701 Baltimore National Pike. If you want to RSVP to that event, feel free. You can shoot an email to creditradio at gmail.com. We'll make sure we plug you in and get you moving.
Awesome. Well, listen, man, you know, I appreciate the commitment that you have made to share with our listeners about being more educated about their finances and, more importantly, their credit. So I look forward to the partnership with you sharing with the Eagle's Nest and our network on how to actually make things happen as far as for themselves financially. So sure, we appreciate you with that. Please stay posted. We're going to have on our website as well about what's taking place with Mr. Derek Smith and United Credit Educational Services as well, because he is a partner of the Eagle's Nest and Eagle's Nest Radio. So I just want to wrap up as we get ready to close. I want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank Derek Smith for being live in studio. I want to thank Dr. Calvin Wiley for coming. I want to thank Marcus Johnson. I also want to thank Attorney Russell Neverdon as well. On Saturday, they're going to have the forum for memory loss for the Alzheimer's Association. That's going to be taking place at Coppin State University. So make sure that you get out there for that. It's the African American Forum on Memory Loss, which is dedicated to 10th Annual Pythias and Virginia Jones Forum on Memory Loss at Coppin from 8 to 3:30 on Saturday, November 1st. I will be your MC in the afternoon for that event. So we look forward for everyone coming out and participating in that event. Again, as we always close out, as the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail, but be the best at whatever you are. So we look forward to seeing everyone next week. If you want to send a message or an email to the Eagle's Nest, send it to eaglesflywitheagles@yahoo.com. That's eaglesflywitheagles@yahoo.com. And we encourage everyone to go out, make it a great week. Take care, take charge, and God bless. We will see you on next week's edition of the Eagle's Nest. Have a great day.